Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us on the journey. Roger, here in recent weeks, last couple of Fridays, last month of the year, we've been talking about how a lot can happen in 40 days.
Yeah, we took that off of 40 days. It's found all over the Bible. I mean, we think about Noah reigning 40 days and 40 nights, and Goliath taunting David and Israel for 40 days, our Lord fasting for 40 days, and what is all over the Bible. It's just that number 40 keeps coming up. And that kind of became the capstone of this little three-part series, A Lot Can Happen in 40 Days.
So 2 weeks ago, we looked at how, in one sense, 40 days can go by really, really slowly. But this past Friday, we looked at the other side of the coin. In one sense, 40 days goes by very, very quickly. This is our last podcast episode of 2021. We're taking a couple of weeks off, and Lord willing, we'll be right back on that first Monday in 2022. But Roger, there was a phrase that we wanted to kind of leave our listeners with, and it fits well with this 40 days idea. What do we want to see different 40 days from today? And that's this powerful little phrase, set your house in order.
Absolutely, because that is a diligent call to whether you look at 40 days as long time or short time, not to waste it, to get busy. The expression is a biblical expression. It comes from the book of 2 Kings chapter 20, and it deals with the days of Hezekiah. And we encounter two famous names in our Bible here, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah. And God has a mission there. And let's read a few verses here. Do you want to read the first six verses for us?
Sure, I can do that. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake."
So before we park on this phrase about setting your house in order, let's notice two or three things about the context. Just kind of get our minds going that direction. And one of the first things we notice is that bad news comes to good people. Hezekiah falls on that list of the good kings of Judah, and he was one that was doing what was right. And here the Bible says that the prophet came to him and said, "You shall die and not live." That's the worst news somebody can hear. I mean, it comes from a source in which there's no one higher to go. I mean, when your doctor says, "There's no more I can do," God can do things your doctor can't. You can always pray to God. When your boss says, "There's no more we can do for you," you can always pray to God. But when God says you're going to die, there's no one higher than God. And so sometimes bad news comes to good people. Second textual thing we notice is the immediate turn of Hezekiah to the wall and praying. It seems like that was his default mode. He didn't run and tell his wife and his kids. He didn't put out a proclamation for all the nation to know, "We better start looking for another king because I'm going to die." It says, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. That's powerful. And I think we would be a better people if we looked more at our walls and less at our TV sets. And we did more praying. His prayer in verse 3, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you how I've walked with, how I've walked before you in truth and with a whole heart and have kept what is good in your sight. And again, the idea is you can't have God remember something that's not there. He didn't live a wicked life and then go to the doctor and find out he was sick and say, God, please save me at the end. He's saying, God, remember, throughout my life. And when Hezekiah took over, his father before him was wicked, had all kinds of idols all over the land. Hezekiah tore them down, got rid of those false prophets. He had done a lot of good. Then this comes. God, remember what I've done. That's powerful. And that's something we need to think about. The prophet Isaiah leaves. Before he even leaves the palace compound, his prayer is heard. And it says in verse 4, before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. That's probably faster than email. You know, I mean, he didn't have to wait 2 or 3 days. He prayed and God immediately heard that prayer, turned that prophet around and said, here's what I'm going to do for you. There's some great lessons built into all of that.
So one of the things, of course, as we build a bridge from that text to ourselves, we don't know how long Hezekiah had. He certainly doesn't seem to have had 40 years. We don't know if he had 40 days. We don't know if he had 40 minutes. We just know that the Lord is telling him, you're going to die. But when we think about, okay, a lot can happen in 40 days. If I were to get this sort of news and I knew that I had not years, perhaps not even months, but days to live, is there anything that I would do differently? That leads us to, doesn't it, what God tells him through the prophet, set your house in order.
And that very statement makes us kind of think, well, I guess this house was not in order. You know, if it's not in order, it's out of order. And sometimes our houses can be out of order. Sometimes our lives are out of order. Sometimes our churches can be out of order. So implied in that setting, set your house in order. Very similar to Colossians 3, set your minds on things above. It's the idea we better get about doing something here, and we better make things right while we have these 40 days or 40 minutes or 40 months, who knows how long. But here's an opportunity for you to make it right at the very end. And I think that's a great statement to think about. So when we think about this idea, what would we have to do to set our house in order? And we're not talking about, well, I always needed to paint the basement and I never did. And we're not talking about those kind of things. We're not talking about, well, you know, I was going to, you know, move a tree here. No, we're not talking about those kind of things either. We're talking about spiritual things. Where am I at spiritually? And that's where it has to begin. It has to begin, first of all, with me, before my family, before my mate. Where am I at spiritually? And it's so easy to walk through life always kicking that can down the road where we're just about done with this year. Well, then I'll just wait till the start of next year and I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. Or I'm going to start till next year and I'm going to start getting more engaged, involved with the congregation and kick that can down the road. Next thing we know, it's spring of next year. Then we're busy summer, fall times, and here the year has gone by, and all I've done is kick that can down the road.
So what stands out to me, if I were on the receiving end of this, set your house in order, well, where do I even start? What does that even mean? And I would lean on Hezekiah's own words there in verse 3 and kind of work my way backward. I need to make sure I know what is good in God's sight. I need to maybe take another look at the objective standard that has been given to me by my good creator. And then I need to apply, to borrow his phrase, my whole heart to that standard. I need to make sure that the Lord, as he looks at me, would say, that's a faithful person. I love those three words or phrases from Hezekiah's knee-jerk reaction. First of all, it's God, remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness with a whole heart and done what is good in your sight. Now, one of the great things that we read in Scripture, have modeled for us, even some of the parables of Jesus show us, as long as there's breath in our body, as long as the sun of our lives hasn't set, there's time to apply ourselves to kingdom work. There's time to come to Jesus, come back home to the Father. And so I'd start with that standard of God. What's good? Is my whole heart in it? Am I walking in faithfulness? Roger, what would you add?
Well, you know, and you know, so many times when we do encounter people who have gotten the notice that things are not going to turn out well for them, their health has fallen apart, and how many times do we hear the expression, well, I have not lived as I should. Yeah. I have not done what I should. Well, here's Hezekiah saying, I have. And so where it starts right there is just doing a quick inventory of your life and saying, okay, have I had the right attitudes? And then just start with today. Have I said right words today? Have I been the proper citizen of heaven today? What about yesterday? And then start making that diligence that put God right before my eyes before I say words, before I come out with my attitude, and to realize that I need to really work at this. This doesn't just do what comes naturally, just do whatever I feel like doing. It's putting God at the forefront. So it starts with self. Have I been doing these things? And if not, right now, right then, I need to make the adjustments. I need to start making a plan. Okay, if the Lord was to call me home today, would I make it? And, you know, Paul had that understanding that he would in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. What would we? If not, make the adjustments. Secondly, what I would do would be talking to my family.
Yeah.
Very seriously. Very seriously. And it's not time for jokes and laughter. It's time, especially moms and dads with grown kids. There's a lot of grown kids that once worshiped are not worshiping. A lot of grown kids are not worshiping correctly. It's time to have that conversation. It's time to say, how long are you going to keep living in the wilderness? You know what the Bible teaches. Let's just get down to what the Bible says and have that conversation. Someday they're going to get this call as well. And that call is God's going to call me home. And if my life is not in order, my life is out of order, it's going to be too late then. So I'd have that conversation with my kids. I would talk to them about their walk with Jesus. I would talk to them about what they're doing with their lives and their purpose and what they're leaving to their children and the legacy before them. All those things are kind of interwoven together, but it all comes from this idea of understanding truth and doing good.
You know, it strikes me, Hezekiah, in his own way, he immediately prays to God. And of course, this has a very quick turnaround. But I think that you can, especially as you go back and you read the book of Psalms, I love how at various points throughout this Hebrew poetry, it starts out with really bad news or a really dire situation, and it's processed, it's brought to the Lord, and then by the Psalms resolution, there is this personal resolution that I'm going to tell other people how good God is. That's, I think of Psalm 22. You know, it begins with those famous words that Jesus says from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But by the end of Psalm 22, he is resolving, I'm going to sing the praises and the goodness of God in the congregation of the righteous. And so, I like the idea of, okay, saying what needs to be said to family, but then not squandering that time that I have left, not making it simply about me, but making sure people don't use this as an excuse to doubt the goodness of God. God has been good. God is good.
Absolutely. You know, and for a lot of us, probably for most of us, we don't get what Hezekiah had happened to him.
Yeah.
We don't have a prophet showing up at our house and knocking on our door one day and say, hey, guess what? You better get your house together. You better get your life together because you're going to die. But we know that statement's found all through the Bible. And in our community, I mean, we're still recovering from the shock of massive tornadoes in Western Kentucky. How many people went to bed that night not knowing that that was their last night? How many people were working at a candle factory that was destroyed by that tornado? Now, had they woken that morning and a prophet been to their door and said, hey, this is your last day on planet Earth, better get your life together, they probably would. And that's the thing about the 40 days. You see, we sometimes think, okay, I've got 40 days. Well, you may not. You may have one day. Or I've got 40 years. Well, you may not. You may have 1 year. And so, you know, what the prophet did not tell Hezekiah was how long you have, okay? Set your house in order because you're going to die. And if he said it's going to die by next Friday, he may put off to Thursday what he had to do. No, you just need to start today. And that should be with all of us. Whether we think we're going to die this week or next month or next year, it doesn't matter. What matters is, why am I putting off what is right? Why am I not living with Jesus? Why do I keep staying with the devil? Why do I just kind of be a slacker and not stepping up and doing what God wants me to do? Why do I keep being afraid to talk to my family and my friends about Jesus? You see, get your house in order because you never know when that time's going to be.
So in each one of these episodes, we've put a practical spin on it at the very end, and I'd like to do that one more time. 40 days from today is Sunday, January 23rd of 2022. 40 days from today, it will already be the fourth Lord's Day of a brand new year. As I listen to this, maybe it's Friday, maybe it's Saturday, whenever it is, as I listen to this, as I'm driving down the road, as I'm on the treadmill, it's too cold to mow the grass where we live, but however it is that you're listening to this, where am I right now? And what needs to be different by Sunday, January 23rd? Have I been honoring the Lord on the Lord's Day? Those Lord's Days come by very, very, very quickly. And each one is a gift to us from God. We say all the time, Roger, it's the best day of the week. Am I treating it like that? Am I in the habit of giving to the Lord what He would have me to give? Am I telling myself, reminding myself words of truth by opening up God's word and feeding myself with it every day? How's my prayer life been? Would I like to be stronger, more connected in prayer by the second half of January? Well, we don't wait for January 1st of a new year. We don't wait until January 23rd. Those are things that need attention today, but it's got to start somewhere. I used this principle just a few days ago in talking with some of our teens here at Charlestown Road. I had them make a note in their individual smartphones, and I just had them type out as the title, 40 days, and I asked them to make a resolution. 40 days from now, what do I want to be different, deeper, more devoted in my life? That's something all of us can do. That's something that we need to do here at the end of this God-given year.
You know, years ago, I was preaching somewhere, and it was on a Sunday morning, and a family with four or five boys sat behind me. And they all wanted to sit up in the front row with me, so they all did. And they were touching me and getting the songbooks out, and it was chaos, and it was a mess, and it wasn't working for me. So I told the mother, I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, every night you pick out which boy, and one boy can sit right beside me. And so Monday night's the oldest boy, Tuesday night's the next boy. Wednesday night, it was the youngest boy, and he was sitting right beside me. He was just right there, and I scoot over, and he'd scoot right next to me. And he would get the songbook out for me, and he was patting me on the leg. And we were singing the final words of a song before I was supposed to get up and preach. And he pulled on my coattail and said, "Mr. Roger, I got to tell you something." And I thought maybe my tie was crooked or something wasn't right, you know, and I leaned over. And right before I got to preach, he says, "I wish I was you." Hmm. And boy, that messed me up. I could hardly preach because no one's ever said that. But with this lesson, that's what we're saying. Do you wish every member in this church was like you? Not to be arrogant or anything like that, but to think, I wish everybody attended like I attended. I wish everybody was as active as I am active. I wish everybody was as strong as I am strong. And if everybody was just like you, what kind of church would this be? What kind of family would you have? And that's just something to think about, because there's always eyes looking at us. There's always people following us. And when we get our house in order, we see the great, great example that we leave and the great importance of that. And so whether we're given another 40 days, 40 months, 40 years, it really doesn't matter for the one who has a heart towards Jesus, because he's going to be busy doing what God wants him to do and doing the best he can do.
Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. I appreciate you joining me all year long. It has been, in many ways, a trying year, but these simple conversations have been encouraging to me, and I know it's been encouraging to a number of our listeners. The reason that we keep doing this is because of the encouraging feedback that we get from so many. And so thank you to all of you. And we are praying for you. We are praying that the next 40 days are a blessing to you, that you will follow the Lord with your whole heart, that your faith in the Lord Jesus will be known far and wide for the sake of his name. And we hope that our conversations throughout this year have helped you along those lines. Let me remind you one more time, we are taking a couple of weeks off. Lord willing, we will be back with a brand new episode on that first Monday of 2022. But in the meantime, we hope that our efforts have helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.